This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
And good evening, everyone. It is Sunday, September 29th, 2019. Thank God the preseason's over, right? Am I right, people? Welcome to this edition of Teal Town After Dark, preseason edition, following a 5-1 loss to the Vegas Golden Knights. We got plenty to talk about that we weren't expecting to be. So we got plenty to talk about, and we can't do this show without you. So if you want to be a part of the show, there are multiple ways to interact with us. Join us in with fellow Sharks fans and hockey fans everywhere using the YouTube Super Chat. Join us on the page or the app. Of course, follow us on the social media wherever you want to find it. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, YouTube, Reddit, all on Teal Town USA. All right. And with that, hi again, everyone. We got the crew back in town. We have Mr. Eric Landy. Landy, good to see you, bud.
Yeah. I wish it was under a little bit better circumstances, but I'm here and ready to go.
Awesome. Good to have you, Landy. And, of course, Mr. AJ Strong.
What it is, what it was, what it shall be.
I'm sorry, I wouldn't be pushing anybody around, but that might be part of the subject here. But we're not going to really talk about it too much, as the preseason is over and done with. It's, I would say a nice start from the Sharks, despite being down 1-0 after one period. I thought Jones had a nice, solid game early on, Landy. And what says you early on in the first period from Joner and the group?
Yeah, I thought that they came out with some good intensity. I felt like Ferraro was a kid that really stuck out to me as somebody who's playing for a spot on the roster. To me, he looks like he's ready to go. And I'm very impressed with him, and I'm very impressed with the way that the defense core was kind of moving the puck up. Defensive structure looked pretty sound in that first period. Offensively, I felt as if they were a little disjointed. I still felt like they were having issues with timing, issues with those little tic-tac-toe passes through the neutral zone. It felt like they were kind of getting stymied a little bit by Vegas. So, you know, some things that are a little bit concerning for me still.
And AJ, after 20 minutes, what did you think of this night on ice? I thought they looked pretty good after 20 minutes, and then it just seemed to be going downhill from there.
It was tough sledding. It was tough. I thought they handled the first period all right, but this is preseason, kids. You can't get too high, too low about something like this. Clearly, you just look at social media, even the official accounts, Golden Knights account, the T-Mobile account. They clearly had way more invested in this game than the Sharks did. To me, the most impressive part of this evening was looking at how fantastic these new Teal Town USA shirts were. I mean, these are just fantastic. And these can be found on TealTownUSA.com for just $25. We also have a stealth version and a ladies version available. This was clearly the most impressive thing that happened tonight when it comes to the Sharks. But I digress. No, Mario Ferraro, absolutely. I got to be honest. If Šimek is not ready to go, if he is not the quote-unquote sixth defenseman, there's clearly something really bad happening somewhere. And let's be honest, when Šimek is ready to go, if it's Burn Šimek, Vlasic Carlson, if that's the way it goes, Dylan Carlson, we saw that work out really well last season. You know, Tim Heath, love you. You were a reasonable facsimile when Carlson was hurt, but still not enough. Middleton, I mean, you're a massive a man, but Ferraro just, God damn, that kid's got wheels. And this kid, he's just going to make it really difficult for the Sharks coaching staff to make a decision. And if I'm part of that staff, Ferraro is, you know, top six on the defensive core come Wednesday night versus Vegas when all of this counts. Again, yeah. When it counts. Tonight, Vegas fans, it didn't count.
Yeah. I agree with your points there, AJ. And it's just as far as Šimek goes, I know that he has been practicing with the team and is doing full contact now. So he's still doubtful for the opener, but it would not surprise me if we see him in, let's say, the first four or five games.
Yeah, I and honestly, there's a long season to go. There's no need to rush him too much. If you're going to have Ferraro, Dalton Prout, I'm not sold on him yet. I really am not. And
not sold, dude. I already am like getting my return receipt out.
Landy?
Yeah, I don't have as strong a feeling about Dalton Prout as you guys do. I feel like he's serviceable. Not like a Jim Vandermeer who's, you know, just kind of placed in as a defense, penciled in as a defenseman, but really isn't a defenseman. I feel like Prout's got some decent defensive acumen. He's a little slow, and I think that's the biggest thing that we see is, you know, is he the reincarnate of Roman Polak? I don't know, but I feel as if he's serviceable.
Well, if that's the case, then send him over to Toronto, where I'm sure Mike Babcock would enjoy him. Rob Iman in the chat. Let's get the chats going here. Wave Prout is what he's suggesting here. Sleepy Mofo suggesting try. Uh-oh. Where'd you go, AJ?
Hello there.
There we go. Try Ferraro with Burns and put Heed with Vlasic and EK65 with Dylan.
I like that.
What do you think?
I get the idea of putting EK65 with Dylan because when EK65 last season was with Dylan, Dylan put up a spectacular plus minus. We all know that Chris hates that stat, but when you're like sitting at a plus 19, there's a little bit to the stat. I'm not saying it's the end all be all, but there's a little bit to that stat. That was a great matchup, and it seemed like Dylan is one of those guys that when he plays with upper echelon guys, he ups his game. There's just some guys that make you better when you play with them. And then when you play with, how many times did we, oh God, when was it? It was a couple of years ago. Somebody, I forget who it was, that was like centering the fourth line, and we just shit all over them saying that, oh, they're just not that great. Yet they were being anchored down by guys like Haley. Oh, geez, who was it? I remember us.
Chat, help us out here.
It was. We were just dumping on a center on the fourth line, and there was no reason for us to be dumping on him because he was, again, he was weighed down by bad wingers. And then the few times that he did get some talent next to him, all of a sudden, he flourished.
What year?
This is like 5 years ago or something. But either way, it comes down to the fact that when Dylan is paired with talent, Dylan plays really, really well. When he's anchored down, doesn't play that well.
People are suggesting Tierney. Is that
Yes.
The fourth line center?
I think it was. Yeah, it was Tierney. Yeah, Tierney was being anchored down. When he was playing fourth line center, he was being anchored down by guys like Haley or whoever and not playing, you know, not putting up the numbers that he was quote-unquote expected to be putting up. Same thing with Dylan. When Dylan was paired, DeMello, serviceable, but when paired with Dylan, you know, like they're not going to set the world on fire. But Dylan really figured it out when he was with Erik Karlsson. Like, look, EK is, he's an offensive player playing a defensive position. So my job is to back him up on the D. That's what I'm going to do. And that's what Dylan did. And he played that role really, really well. We'll see what happens. There's been a ton of speculation during training camp and preseason as to where everything is going to slot in. Obviously, it's kind of like Burns is going to be paired with Šimek. Now, Šimek, as it stands right now on this date, Šimek will not be available to open the season. Might be a week or two. So we'll see who ends up on the pair with Burns. But there's also been some speculation. Is it going to be EK and Vlasic? Is it going to be EK and Dylan? Speculation there. We all saw Vlasic had one of his most difficult seasons last year. It was the first time he finished a season at a minus. He was minus six last season. First time he's been a minus in like 8 years. Okay. He was playing the musical chair pairing. I get it. There was like, should we put him with, you know, Braun? Should we put him with Karlsson? Should we do this? It's fine. Let's just lock these things in. But I'm telling you, Ferraro, that kid is putting someone out of a job by Thanksgiving, boys.
No, not even. I think he's warranted a spot out of training camp, in my opinion. And just kind of piggybacking off of the Dylan comments, you know, EK65 did his amazing things in Ottawa with Mark Mathot. And, I mean, Dylan sure certainly does look like a Mark Mathot kind of player. And, you know, it's no coincidence that EK65 feels comfortable with Dylan, right? I mean, they play a similar kind of role, you know, similar style. You know, I would keep them together. I feel like that's what you want to do. You want to make sure that your highest paid defenseman's comfortable with his partner.
And with that chemistry that they already had in the past, that's something that they should definitely go for. I mean, we definitely saw more so tonight with Burns and Karlsson outside the power play, which was kind of surprising as you go with two righties. But that's something, you know, you don't normally want to see. It's probably something that, because the team was behind about midway through the game, that you would have that issue going onward. Andy Mann, getting back to us, 5 years ago, there was Desjardins, Shepherd, Tierney, and Kennedy. 4 years ago, it was the first arrival of Tierney, who played 43 games with the team during the year that they missed the playoffs.
But I'm just saying, never say the words Tyler and Kennedy in front of me ever.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So you don't want to buy my practice worn Stadium Series jersey then, AJ? All right.
I miss the days when I had a mute button. Go ahead.
VGK coverage. Yeah, I completely agree. The first two games of this season will be fun. It should be a fun night all around. But
well, hey, let's talk about tonight's game.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at.
Do we have to?
Well, yes, we do. First period, William Carrier gets a goal off of Tomáš Nosek to make it 1-0. Honestly, like I've been saying, I thought Jones had a pretty good night in the first period. That was kind of like the little bit of a fluky bounce that, you know, sometimes those go in. But overall, I thought, you know, you only had one penalty in that period where you have goaltender interference by Timo Meier. Little bit of a questionable call there as he's pushed into Marc-Andre Fleury. But to me, gang, I'm fine with it because we're getting used to Vegas getting the calls again. So no big deal.
Oh, can we not? Let's just stop that horseshit like right away.
I will when the Vegas fan stops the horseshit about the 5-minute power play.
And it's never going to happen, but it's exactly. No. It's
going to be a long season.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. This is preseason. It's all fine. It's fine. It's fine. Let it go. Okay. William Carrier. Okay. Sure. Fine. Oh, and by the way, I should point out to all of the beautiful people watching us right now, you can find GIFs of these on Twitter at Tealtown USA. Follow that hashtag. hit the little button that says follow. And while you're here, hit the button that says subscribe. But yeah, Carrier from Nosek, yeah, hits it, you know, 1736. Oh, good for you, you know. And, you know, the Vegas fans just go absolutely batshit crazy. And it's really, really. And the really bad thing, I'm not sure. I'm trying to think, was it the Vegas? I'm trying to think of what Twitter account a day or two ago put out a post that, or maybe it wasn't even a Twitter account. Maybe it was an article by somebody from the Vegas media talking about how winning tonight would be vengeance for a playoff game.
Oh, no.
Really?
No.
Winning a preseason game is vengeance for getting knocked out of the playoffs? If that's what you think you are, you should see, you know, you should seek psychological therapy yesterday, if that's what you think. But, and the fact of the matter, it's like everybody forgot about 2018. Do y'all remember when the Golden Knights knocked San Jose out of the playoffs? And then a year later, San Jose knocked Vegas. Maybe it was San Jose getting vengeance a year later. Have you ever considered that? I mean, I know you guys are like super new to hockey, but maybe take that into consideration. That's all I'm saying.
And like M. Hackle says, even winning a regular season game is a rematch or vengeance. So,
yeah. So it's, you know what, good on you. You guys, you know, Vegas, you got a 4-0 lead, and that's great. Good for you in a game that means absolutely nothing. Great for you.
Yeah, you know what? Let them have all the preseason wins that they want. I'll take the first two wins of the season, you know, like,
yeah. Yeah, like I remember, and Eric, tell me if I'm wrong, but I totally remember a couple times where, like, the Sharks went, like, 5-1 in preseason and then, like, went on to go, like, 1-6 in their first 7 regular season games. And then I remember a Sharks team that, like, I don't even know if they won a preseason game and then started the season, like, 10-1. So, again, preseason means exactly dick.
Well, if anything we can take away, it's just on how the performance of the rookies are. We can take away kind of maybe new schemes or new setups on power plays or going through the neutral zone. And that's what it is. That would mean
that the Sharks would actually have to get a power play. But yeah,
exactly. But, you know, this is the time to really iron out the type of game that they want to play, kind of establish, you know, exactly, you know, their objectives for when they hit the neutral zone, the objectives for when they hit the offensive zone. So to me, I'm just looking at strategy. I'm looking at schemes, and that's really what I look at. And guys, the one thing that really jumps out to me is the lack of that right wing depth. And that kind of scares me a little bit still.
You mean behind LeBanc?
Yeah, you know, and so I like your Tychan and I like Leon Bergman, but still, to me, we seem to be one finisher short.
But take into account, Doug Wilson still has $2.6 million to play with. There are things to be had, but I think you do have to give Wilson a scotch of credit. He is putting it in the hands of the coaching staff, putting it in the hands of the younger group, saying, look, show me. You guys want to be here, whether it's, you know, Shmulevsky, Shukovic, Bergman, Blickfeld, whoever, show me. Show me that you're going to be the guys that we need on that right side that are going to show up everything, that I don't have to go out and spend this $6 million. Like, here are your opportunities. So I think DeBoer, it could take him about 15, 20 games to kind of dial this all in. You know, is it going to be Brodzinski up on the Couture line? Or is Brodzinski going to be with Hurdle? Or is he going to be down with Thornton? Brodzinski's shown some really nice chemistry with Thornton. So that's another key. I mean, we're talking about the young guys, you know, the baby Sharks, the ones that are coming up. Brodzinski, I don't know if he's getting enough pub, you know? Like, I feel like he should be getting a little more love.
He hasn't... Oh, go ahead, Landy.
Yeah, I you know, and going off of that, I think that Doug Wilson had completed his objective, right? I think his objective going into the preseason was, look, there are going to be the spots available. You know, we're going to give you the chance, you know, please, you know, take this by the reins. And right now it looks as if Chmielewski and Chekovich are both going to start with the Barracuda.
Okay, can we just dial down the pronunciation?
Chmielewski.
Let's get the pronunciation correct.
It's okay. Sasha Chmielewski.
Try again.
Well, if there's something else, I don't know what. I can't do the Ovechkin.
I went to FanFest. I literally asked the guy, how do you pronounce your name? And he said, Chmielewski. It's not four syllables. It's three. Chmielewski.
Okay. Chmielewski.
No. Not Chmielewski. It's Chmielewski.
Chmielewski.
Chmielewski. Yes.
Okay.
Now, the other guy, it's Chekovich. Chekovich. It's not that. It's not a ch. It's sh. It's Chekovich.
Tell that.
Literally asked the guy himself and confirmed it.
Okay. I've been in Sasha.
Hold on. You mean Ivan Shekovich, or do you mean Ivan Yashchenkov?
Oh no.
And that's all one word, by the way.
Right. Ivan C.
That guy who wears 55 and
the only reason why 82. I do this is to make Kevin Lacey and Ian Reed not have their heads explode because we know that they're like, you know, pronunciation Nazis.
Yeah, right.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, so the objective, I think, was pretty clear of what DW wanted to see going into the season, right? He wanted to have those spots available. He wanted to see what the kids had. I don't know that they did enough to really warrant a look yet. I mean, I think Gambrell is going to be staying up here for the most part. I think what Suomela got reassigned back to the Barracuda.
Yep.
So, that still worries me. I think that there's a question mark there, and I liked going back to Gambrell. I liked his game against Calgary when he had those.
It was like the only one good game though.
Right, exactly. So he's got the skill set to do it, but you know,
consistency.
And I think that that's been the knock on him since he came up.
Yeah,
definitely.
And let me just throw this out there for the people that might be a little older, like say over the age of 35 or whatever. Can we just talk about how cool that is? Am I just the only one that thinks that Eric Landy's shot reminds him of like the front cover of Phil Collins' album?
Oh yeah, yeah. No jacket required.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay.
Jeez. Let's see. Let's get into.
Guys, going. Who's Phil Collins?
Oh, I can feel in the air tonight like nothing else. All right. Getting to some of the comments in the chat. We have Andy Man going, Gambrell for me was really disappointing, very inconsistent.
But was so great 2 days ago versus Calgary.
Right. There's just those streaks. Hopefully I'm getting your pronunciation right on here.
Terpenese, like Japanese. Terpenese.
All right. Saw Brodzinski play for SCSU against UND a few years. Big physical player, good bottom six player who can develop some offensive upside. That would be a good one there.
It makes you wonder why, you know, what did LA not see in him that Doug Wilson did?
Well, he had the whole dislocated shoulder, which kept him out for about 6 months. And I think that really hindered his development and really hindered his, you know, grasp upon the roster spot.
That's part of it. But when we talked to Doug Wilson last year, that was his whole thing was, you know, dance with the devil, you know. The thing about having guys on your team or on your roster that might have had some injury history, the thing is that they came up through your system. Like, you literally know everything about their injury history, whereas Brodzinski, like, you probably know a little bit. You know what LA is going to tell you and blah, blah, blah. Right. but you know, you don't have the full bill of sale. But I think this is, I mean, I think we can all agree that Doug Wilson has, you know, proven himself as putting together a group of guys who can identify talent. So I'm going to give him a pass on this one.
Yeah. And I'm not necessarily saying that Doug Wilson's the default here. I just think that there might be a time when the finisher needs to be added to this roster. And I think if you have the development of these defense, you know, this defenseman in Ferraro, I think you might have an expendable piece there.
Did you say the finisher? Is he like a distant cousin to the Punisher?
Finish him.
But no, I do think it's cool that to talk about just for a hot second, the fact that coming into this preseason, we were kind of sold by the franchise that it was going to be a case of, oh my God, Shmulevsky, Shakovic, these are going to be guys, maybe even Blickfeld to a certain extent. These are going to be the guys that we really take a hard look at. And instead, it's been guys like Bergman and Ferraro, and to a slightly lesser extent, but still, you're tanking. And you're tanking is a guy that I talked about, like, after game three, that I was kind of like, you know what? I'm liking this kid. I could see him as the fourth line pivot. I mean, if, you know, maybe the game is a little too much for Gambrell at the center position. Maybe he could slot over to the wing. I'm still not a guy who believes in Goodrow as a center. I'm just not. I think he's put up his most points as a winger. He's more creative as a winger. You're tanking. I like him in that fourth, you know, that fourth line pivot position. I think he could do some interesting things down there. And, you know, a year from now, we could very much see, you know, you're tanking with Blickfeld on one side and whoever on the, you know, whether it's Bergman, somebody else, either way, I like where this franchise is kind of pointed. Might not be the biggest guys, but they're creative.
You know, I also, a guy that kind of flew a little bit under the radar too is Manuel Reeder. I liked his game as well, and I felt as if he brought very similar attributes as Leon Bergman. And Leon, I think, is, to me, one of the guys that is really impressive, along with your Tyken as well. And so, you know, I like the contingent of European free agents that were brought in, and I think they outshined the homegrown prospects, in my opinion, and it shows by who's left on the roster.
Yes. And in fact, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, I might just have to get Ruzy on, like, a phone call tomorrow or Tuesday and just say, you know what, bud? Danny, I love you so much, but can we talk for, like, 90 seconds? And I just need you to read off every name between the Sharks and the Cuda and just read it off correctly. And you know what? Ruzy is so goddamn cool, I think he'd do it.
He probably would. And I know I tweeted him and asked him for a pronunciation guide just to make sure we get it. Sleepy Buffo literally saying that we need a video audio track from Dan Ruzanowski on how to pronounce all the names of NHL players. You know, that's one of those things that that him and believe it or not, Mike Emmerich are really particular about getting the names right, for sure. Let's see. Let's
awful pork.
Chirpinese also adding DW Love's prospect reclamations, also because he played college puck in the best college hockey conference. He probably had scouts watching him for years. That's a good point too. With you know, amateur scouts, they're probably looking at, they've noticed him and everything on there as well. In that,
it's so interesting. It kind of. Let's quickly piggyback on that, on the cycles that DW goes kind of through into where he gets his recruits. And you know, for a long time, he has been a heavy college scout. I think that's primarily where he's kind of made his money, is the college prospects, a little bit from the Ottawa 67s, of course, with Logan, a little bit with the Q guys. You know, he's got some tentacles in the queue there. WHL. I mean, he's got a really good mixture of where he picks his guys, but to me, he's very much he digs the college players. You know, he's got Mario Ferraro right now on the team who's went through college. He's got Gambrell who's gone through college. He's got Brodzinski who's gone through college. You know, so it just it's interesting to see how he plucks out the prospects and where exactly he gets them from. And right now he's definitely kind of going through kind of going back to his roots with the college kids. And I think expanded a little bit his horizons on the European free agents, because it, for a long time, the Sharks kind of shied away, especially in the early beginnings of DW's tenure, from the Europeans. When, you know, prior to that, he was prior to that, the organization was geared heavily towards Europeans. So
no, dude, that was the whole thing, is so many people shit canned Lombardi for his obsession with Euros. You go back and look at that time of like the late 90s, very early 2000s, it seems like for every Canadian the Sharks, you know, took a flyer on, they took a flyer on 10 Euros.
And right.
It definitely seemed to be very Eurocentric, at least for Lombardi.
Yeah, and I mean, Larionov, you know, he went back to Timo, you know, the list goes on and on and on, right? I mean,
yeah. Yeah, you were only able to name two, but yeah, it's a huge list. Anyway.
Let's get back to the game, but real quick, California Cruisin', we better not have a pronunciation quiz at the end of the season for player names. Now, let's see if it was at the end of the season, I think
it
would be
better. I may have prizes to give away, so you better figure out how to pronounce those goddamn names.
But let's get back to the game, because we have a lot to talk about, especially in the third period. Second period, the Vegas Golden Knights did break it open. Three goals. In a matter of minutes, it seems like. Okay, thank you, NHL.com, for freezing on me. It's like AOL.
We literally have tweets. We have GIFs on our account, but
yes,
go ahead.
At Teal Town USA, Schulte at 5:47 on the power play after Brendan Dillon takes a holding call on Riley Smith to make it 2-1. Or 2-0, excuse me. Then Jonathan Marchessault just skates past Jumbo. Mario Ferraro tried like heck to try to get back to him, but he beats Martin Jones at 8:24 on a wrist shot to make it 3-0 Vegas.
And let's be honest, the Schulte goal during the regular season, that's one Jones needs to have.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I did not like Jones tonight at all, guys.
The first two periods, yeah, I wasn't through. I was okay with him in the first period. That one that like went over his right shoulder, it's just kind of like, well, you know, it takes a fluky bounce. I get that. The other ones, yeah, not thrilled about tonight, but in particular the Schulte goal, I felt like, no, that's one Jones needs to have. And when you look at the log jam. And net, remember, this is a team that just a day or two ago traded away Antoine Bibeau. So right now it's Cornosh, it's
Shortridge.
It's Shortridge, it's Amand, and then who's it, what's his name? Like Sonchuk? What the hell's that guy's name? Sachawik? What the hell's that guy's name?
Not Sachuk.
Yeah, but you know who I'm talking about.
I do know who you're talking about, of course.
Either way, there's a log jam at the goalie position for the Sharks. So I understand why getting rid of Bibeau makes sense, but God damn, man. I mean, Jones, this, and we've seen Jones. Dude is streaky. Dude's hella streaky.
Shachenko. Thank you, Terpenese.
Yes, Shachenko. So that's the thing. There's a little bit of a log jam now, you know, and let's, you know, Puck Guy and our, you know, we're old enough to remember the Warren Strelo log jam when it was Nabby and Kiprasov and Toskala. I mean, there was, you know, there was a grouping in there. Even
Hedberg.
Going back to, it's like Johan Hedberg, you know, the brief time that he played for the Sharks, he looked really good. Jesus Christ. Do y'all remember Nolan Schaefer's first game? Everybody wanted to anoint him as the next one. I mean, you know, there's been some good guys that have come through the system. They got rid of Bibeau. let, I don't know that the defensive prospect that they traded for him is going to be much. We'll see. But either way, this was not a game that, if I'm Jones, I'm real happy about. And you know what? The good news is he's got two games in the next 6 days to figure that out, you know, yeah. Wednesday and Friday. Let's see what Jones can come up with. And if you're a real hockey fan, you know, and I'm not trying to be a dick and go, oh, if you don't spend this much money, you're not a real. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that be honest with yourself. If you are a fan of hockey in general, specifically the Pacific Division, like myself, you'd be hard pressed to be able to pick a better top six in the Pacific Division, if you're being honest, than Vegas.
Absolutely.
So if Jones is able to stone these guys in those first two games, even if the Sharks were to lose 1-0, but Jones, you know, stops 39 of 40, I'm taking that. You know what I mean? This is what I want. I just want to see Jones be consistent. I don't want to see him give up that early goal, you know, that goal in the first 5 minutes, which they did in 28 games last season. I don't want to see that. I want to see them tighten down the defense. Remember, this is a team that was a positive. They were a plus 31 goal differential last season. But what you have to take into account, Pavelski, 38 goals. Nyquist and Donskoy piled on another 20. 58 goals coming from three guys. You can't get too crazy about a plus 31 goal differential, especially when you gave up 258 last season. Okay? You got to lock down the defense. Hopefully, Boogner is going to help that. Scouch, got to lock that down. Lock down that D. Can't give up that early goal in the first 5 minutes, boys.
I completely agree, and that's what killed the Sharks early on and kind of set the tone for an absolute fall apart throughout the night. Second period, definitely Valentin Zhykov and Evander Kane apparently decided that they do not like each other. They had a couple roughing liners.
Did he mistake him for Reeves?
I don't know. At 7:31, they both go off from roughing. 10:17, to me, and I was trying to get it to you, but I just couldn't at the time. You know, Zhykov looks like he tripped Brendan Dillon from behind. Kane took exception to that. Kane says, "Let's go." They trade blows at 10:17 and everything. Before we get to the elephant in the room in the third period with Evander Kane, the thing I have is that why do we have to have him get all hot when he needs to be an offensive force on the top six?
That, honestly, to me, that's, I mean, a little bit of that is coaching. It's funny to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, Evander Kane is he's like Ryan Merkley 10 years ahead. Like Kane, he's an offensive weapon, and he can be a really good hockey player, but he lets guys into his head. We saw it in the first few games versus Vegas. He lets guys into his head. Until he stops being provoked or allowing himself to be provoked, that's going to be a problem. And I can see that being, you know, a problem with past teams. He's easily provoked. He needs to work on that in a big way.
Landy, anything to add?
No, I echo the same thoughts. I think the other thing that I would add to that is I'm a little concerned about his finishing touch right now, boys. I mean, right now he doesn't want to shoot the puck. He looks a little hesitant to go to the front of the net where, you know, he can really cause some havoc, and he's not, not picking his spots correctly on his shot. You know, his decision making for where he's shooting is got a lot left to be desired there.
No.
Yep. To finish,
I'm just
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, he has a little bit of an attitude problem. He needs to deal with it in a big way.
Yeah, you know, the kid is immensely talented. That's the thing. If he had the right mindset kind of going into a game where, he's like Timo, right? Where Timo uses his physicality, doesn't mind mashing it up, but doesn't go out there looking for a fight. Whereas in Kane's game, he's got that going out there and it's almost like he's got something to prove, you know, every time he steps out on the ice.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. It's something that he needs to break through mentally.
Yeah, and that's something that we saw 2 years ago when this team played the playoffs, and it cost them in the long run with that suspension on Pierre Delmar in, what was it, game three, I think he was suspended for when we came back home. So
Remember, we're talking about a player who lost his shit when he got his first hat trick. You know, finally. Yeah. And it's like, dude, it's not about you. But okay.
Well, I mean, I understand that for how long and how many times he was close to getting a hat trick. I mean, you can forgive a player for waiting that long for that. But
I can, but just sometimes.
It adds and then, to the resume of the issues.
Right? Yes, that. And then the fact that tonight that he got 10 minutes for abuse of an official.
Oh, yeah.
Learn self-control, my brother.
Yeah, it's so.
And that's going to be interesting to see what's coming about of that. Go ahead, Eric. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just going to lead up to, I was just trying to finish up the summary here. Mark Stone, his second in the preseason from Pacioretty and Schultz at 16:09, finishes off the three-goal period. To make it a 4-4 nothing, to get to the third period. Go ahead.
No, I'm just pointing out Lance's comment in the chat. Not cool, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I know you're being funny, but that has nothing to do with it. And the only reason at why all. I'm calling this out is because we're in a world where like hypersensitivity is the norm. I know that you're being funny. I think you know that you're being funny. I'm just worried about like the 50 people watching. So,
right. All. You know, we don't want to misconstrue things, and, no. And that's really good that you bring that up, AJ. But you know, it's
no, dude, no. There's no reason to like flag that or anything like that. I think he's being funny. Like again, let's not be hypersensitive about stuff.
Got it.
Going back to the player,
having a good
though.
Time with that.
Going back.
Oh, Lance is going, I'm black myself. Just kidding. All love. See? So there you go. See? Yeah. We don't want to be hypersensitive about stuff or make assumptions. And so that's why I didn't want to do that.
But, you know, going back, I mean, this is something that a Max Domi had to kind of, you know, grow through, right? I mean, it's not unique to a particular player. It's just, you know, trying to really build up that mental resolve, and that's something that, you know, Evander Kane has never really learned. You know, he's always kind of had that reputation, and you know, I just hope being in San Jose, you know, and being in the locker room and having a guy like Jumbo kind of, you know, teach him that chi that Jumbo has on the ice for most of the time. You know, we have seen angry Jumbo, but you know, he normally wrangles that in and brings it out only in times of need. I think Evander Kane could learn, you know, a thing or two from Jumbo about that.
I would, and again, I don't want this to spiral into a whole different kind of conversation, but let's call things what they are. And the fact of the matter is there's literally no one else in the Sharks locker room currently that has any idea what Evander Kane has gone through.
Right.
So that's why, like, I get what you're saying, but Joe Thornton will never know what Evander Kane has gone through to get to where he is. And pathetically and sadly, because he just happens to have a darker color skin than other people in Canada. And it's fucked up, but it, you know, unfortunately it is what it is. It's like, we root for a sport that unfortunately there's like what, seven like black players in for some reason.
And for that matter, I mean, the Sharks have been very diverse with their teams, and we've seen it all the way from Dale Craigwell from the original day.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Mike Greer and Joel Ward for that matter as well. So Let's move on. There was some good news out of tonight, and that's because Daniel, your Daikin, gets on the board 130.
I'm sorry, try that again?
You're gonna kill me, man. All right.
No. I want to hear the Ruzanowski version. Bring it, bro. You're tanking.
Scar!
I'm tanking. No, you're tanking.
No, we're not the Edmonton Oilers. But you're tanking at 110 on a backhander, gets the Sharks on the board at 4-1 there. Kane and Hurdle on the assists on that one. But, of course, Vegas comes back at 3:34 on the power play following a Timo Meier slashing penalty on Braden McNabb, which kind of, to me, just started.
Ottawa is tanking.
Oh, boy.
I love the chat. You know what? If the chat didn't exist for this, I don't think it would be half as fun. But anyway, go ahead.
Right. So then just things started to just boil down from there. 4:51, Max Pacioretty takes a high stick on Dalton Prout. Why, I don't know. 8:30, Zykov cross-checks Marcus Sorensen again. Things get out of hand there. Then the brouhaha that started. Aaron Dell interferes with Cody Glass at 9:52. That starts a melee.
What, Mark Cody Glass or Mark Stone?
According to the
Mark Stone,
it was according to the stat sheet. It's showing Aaron.
According to the GIFs that we tweeted out, it was Mark Stone.
Yeah. Mark Stone gets called for cross chest.
Cross chessing. He threw his bishop in front of the queen. He got called for cross chessing.
I have Shemilevsky on my mind, apparently. Mark Stone for cross-checking Aaron Dell. Tomas Nosek roughing on Marc-Edouard Vlasic. Timo Meier gets a roughing call. Marc-Edouard Vlasic gets a roughing call. Marc-Edouard Vlasic.
You get a roughing call. Everybody gets a roughing call.
So that just started a whole little thing there. Nothing there. Vlasic got a misconduct in that one as well. At 10:45, we have Nicholas Haig roughing on Barclay Goodrow. Brendan Dillon gets a roughing call on there. Max Pacioretty gets a misconduct penalty. Brendan Dillon gets a misconduct penalty. Barclay Goodrow gets a roughing call. Just all kinds of craziness going on there. And then 12:51, Derek England gets called for cross-checking. Also, let's talk about holding the stick of Evander Kane with the armpit.
I'm too busy holding my pussy, but go ahead.
Oh, there you go, Laurel. You're welcome.
Just saying.
Evander Kane gets a misconduct against Derek England. He was being controlled by a linesman. The linesman inadvertently tripped him up. That gets Kane a little more upset. And then Kane shoves him. So let's get to the elephant in the room and a lot of people were talking about earlier. Evander Kane at 12:51 gets tossed for abusive officials. We could look at something pretty substantial for a suspension because you are not allowed to touch the fishing.
Shit, what the fuck are you talking about?
Just saying.
He ain't going to get called for shit. He ain't going to get called for shit. Are you kidding me? You think about the out and out just let's call something what it is. Marc-Edouard Vlasic is fucking filthy. That guy can issue some of the most amazingly awesome derogatory insults towards officials ever. And he's never been suspended for it. So if you think Kane said something that might offend someone during the preseason that is going to warrant a suspension, you haven't been watching hockey.
I don't think we're talking necessarily about the derogatory language. I think we're really worried about the actual physical push, that carries, some big some big consequences.
Okay. Whatever. I still don't see it. You look at stuff that got away from the. This is one of those, and I hate to say this, fucking preseason people, and still this game. I don't know what it is about Sharks Knights games, but it got away from the refs of Scoach tonight, and we have the. And I'm gonna do my digital janitorial. I'm gonna do my little pimping right now. Do us a favor if you don't follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you would. The button's right down there. It's very easy peasy. But look at our Twitter channel. I've got an amazing GIF from tonight where Timo Meier is cross-checked into the boards and immediately gets called for a penalty for slashing. Was that slash a retaliation? Yes. Would he have retaliated had he not been boarded? Probably not. So when I hear something like, you know, oh, Kane said a bad word, we're going to give him a couple games, then to me, I just laugh at it and I go, oh, so it would have been fine if he would have brought out like a puck with like two or three cocaine lines on it. That would have been like, what, two games?
It's not.
I mean, give me a break.
It's not the. It's not the language. It's the shove that
physical,
I think is going to be the actual physical abuse of official that I think
and,
might
now though and Eric, I think this is a good segue and a good thing that we need to bring up is we did see something very similar. I think it might have been Barkley Goodrow, but don't make put my feet to the fire if I'm in that one. But one of the players did have an altercation. It might have actually been Vlasic, but somebody.
Well, he got called for minutes too. So
somebody. I mean, this is probably a few years ago where one of them kind of like trying to throw a punch and accidentally hits the ref.
Oh, that was Demers, I thought.
Demers, yeah. Thank you. And
I felt
so
like that was me, but okay.
And the ref basically plays it off as okay, well, it was a heat of the moment kind of thing, and I don't think that was geared towards me. We'll give you the benefit of the doubt, and I'm wondering if that's what's going to come out of this. Yes, he did get an abusive official ejection. It would not surprise me if he kind of just gets like a very informal phone call and. Being like, hey, look, don't pull that crap again, or else you will.
Hold on. We're talking about Kane, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. If Kane gets anything, then Dell should get like 41 games for the hit on Stone.
Don't encourage them.
I mean, this is just seriously, this is the most silliest thing. Hold on. Okay, let me put this to you. I don't know how many of you guys have been paying attention. Did you all see the hit that Chris Tierney put on what was that, Besser?
Brock Besser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did y'all see that hit?
Yes.
How many games did that get?
Nothing.
Yeah. And you want to talk to me about somebody's feelings getting hurt by words? Get the fuck out of here.
It's not the words.
Dude,
AJ.
Besser, Tierney, I don't give a shit. Tierney, that was a horrible play by Tierney. Now he came out and he said, look, I apologize for that. That's not what I was trying to do. And he laid it out there. Like, he literally threw it out there saying, this is not what I was trying to do. And he tried to explain it, but at least he had the stones to come out there and explain what was in his mind at the time. He didn't turtle about it. And he came out and said, this is what it was. And I think that had to do with something with the fact where the NHL went, okay, we get what you're saying. You know, it was an unfortunate accident, and there you go. And the other thing, let's be honest, Chris, dude, Cobra doesn't have a history like some players do. But the fact of the matter is, let's be honest, man. Are you shitting me? You Chris Tierney damn near, like ends half of a season for Brock Besser, gets nothing. And then you're going to tell me a ref gets his fucking feelings hurt and we're going to give him, what, three games? Fuck out of here.
It could be even more, actually, for abusive official.
I don't give a shit.
I'm just putting out.
But you get what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying.
You're talking about all the things, the problems with CTE, all these different things, and you're going to sit there and tell me that an official got his feelings hurt? Fuck you.
Ian Reed says league loves reputation suspensions. Yes, they do. Just ask.
I'm kidding. Ian, you know I love you, and you know that that was said in jest, so I don't want to hear anybody coming after me later. But you know that. You know what I mean? I am team fuck that guy. okay, why is it that we have this S logo in the middle of us?
I don't know.
Something about this?
I think Landy has disappeared.
I think you need to hit the minus button or something until he returns.
All right, let's do that for right now.
There we go.
Come back when you get back on here. I don't know what happened, but...
Now we're on exciting 2-on-2 play.
Oh, boy. Bring it on, mofo. No, never mind. I don't want to get suspended. So moving onward, let's finishing up here. Kevin LeBanc gets that roughing call at 17:42, which you gift on the Teal Town USA Twitter.
Oh,
he was so pissed.
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
The roughing call that happened immediately after Meyer got cross-checked. Yeah, that was the call. That was a good call, bro.
Yeah,
good call.
Which, you know, he said to you he wanted to avoid going into the penalty box, and he did. He also picked up a 10-minute misconduct there, but
oh wait, hold on. Andy Mann calling this out, dude. AJ, we've said this 4 times now. It's not the words; it's the physical contact that's the issue,
right?
And that's what he was called for. So what? So Kane, like, brushed aside
he shoved the linesman that was trying to hold him back from
he actually shoved a guy. And so the official was like that asked her that he couldn't deal with, like, be getting a little push.
Well, it's
really,
it's like baseball, you can't touch the umpire.
No, I get it, you don't ever touch him, but oh my god. See that, here's the whole thing. Okay, let me do my like 30 seconds and I'll be done with this horse shit. Yes, you never touch an official. However, when an official is letting go ridiculous things, can we all remember that game? What was the game last season? Was that Buffalo? Who was it? Remember? Oh no, it was Boston. Didn't Chara absolutely nail Kane behind the net? And there was absolutely no call, to the point where Kane was so pissed that there was no call that he went after Chara. Whereas if the official had made the call he was supposed to have, Kane would never have went out of after Chara. So I get where Kane is coming from a lot of the times, where sometimes these officials, they need to be held accountable. And this is not a case of just a hockey thing. This is sports in general. Sometimes these officials need to be called out for fucking up. There's just... How many times have we seen, and I'm going to digress here for like a half a minute. Who's the guy? Was it Joe West and Angel Hernandez? And who's the other guy? There's like literally 3 MLB umpires that they're known for having horrible strike zones. They're known for staring down pitchers if a pitcher dares to question their strike zone. And it's like, asshole, call the normal zone like everybody else does. Not a single person out of the 40,000 people here, no one is buying a ticket to see you officiate a fucking game. So take your dumb ass out of it. Call a straight game.
Unless it's West Valley.
Okay, now look, I will be the first fucking asshole on the planet right now to tell you that there might be a hockey game that I'm kind of on the fence on. If somebody was to tell me, dude, Wes McCauley is calling this, it would tip me to buy a ticket. That I will say, just on the hopes that I will hear, after a video review, the call on the ice stands.
We gotta go. Yeah, so animated, but you know what? I tend to think that this is gonna kind of get skirted underneath the rug, so to speak. I don't think we're gonna hear a lot about this. It's preseason. I think it's kind of in the heat of the moment kind of deal, and I think that the ump will be like, hey, look, I tripped him up. You know, he's coming up, and you know that. it's a heat of battle kind of thing. And I think that, you know, it wasn't a great, I mean, it was a shove, but I don't think it was a punch. Marty T. West would have punched back.
I think Kane's going to sit there and go, you know, Blue, if you don't insert yourself into that situation, you never get touched.
For sure.
You know, right. Stay out of it.
My concern is just that it's his reputation from the past and the heat of the moment of what was going on. I would just hate for us to start the season without him in the lineup. But yeah, it's we shall see. So Landy, you say he gets nothing. AJ, yeah. I assume he gets nothing.
Nothing.
I just have a sneaking suspicion that he'll get a few games.
Oh my God, you're such a fucking killjoy! All right, Chris, where is it? I saw something in there that it's Christine says, yeah, same AJ, same. It's very early on. But I do think it's time to start wrapping stuff up. So with that, I will just tell you right now, if you have a moment and if you have $25, hello, there's a beautiful shirt that we have for you available on the website, tealtownusa.com. We have this in teal. It's a beautiful teal. But we also have a stealth version, and we have a women's kind of the low cut, if you will, to show off the girls. And we appreciate that. We appreciate to watch the girls. So Teal Town USA, there's a button on the upper right that says Swag Shop. And so that's where we're rolling with the new T-shirts. We're actually going to be throwing a couple other things up there in the near future, so keep an eye on it. But that's what we're rolling, so I just want to put that out there. Wait a minute.
Super chat donation from Laurel.
Going down for every F word given by fucking AJ Strong tonight. I fucking personally love it, but fucking then again, I could cuss like a sailor on a fucking daily. All right, so anyway.
Hey, we've got some quotes trickling in. This from Ryan Reeves on...
of course.
Everybody asking me to model the women's shirt.
No.
I'll fucking do it. Okay, no. I will make you a deal right now. Okay, hold on.
Oh, no.
I see that. Let me see. Hold on. Danielle says, model the low-coat shirt for my wife so she can see. So that's Daniel. That's Christine. Okay, there's two people asking me to model the women's shirt. I will do it as soon as I log in and see that you've ordered a shirt. If I log in right now and see that Danielle Martinez, Christine has ordered a shirt, I will put that shit on right fucking now.
Oh,
don't think
no.
that I want. Know that I will.
You oh, know yeah, that I no.
will. Absolutely
what
know
on
that
earth
I will.
Have you two done?
Oh no, I'm pulling up the orders right now. If
so,
I see an order from Danielle and Christine, I'm throwing that shirt on right now.
Ryan Reeves on the Evander Kane fight with Zekoff. Looked like he wanted it to end. He looked a little scared to me. So words being thrown down by Reeves. And then
and where was he tonight? Where were you, Ryan Reeves? Honestly, where were you? You got the big attitude and everything. And sure as heck, you did a hell of a job on that 5-minute power play. Oh, that's right. You were serving the penalty, for crying out loud. So sit down, shut up, and try to play hockey.
Hold on. Wait,
back to you, Lane.
Wait a minute. The Sharks, they played a 5-on-3 penalty kill tonight, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And didn't give up a goal.
Right.
Nope.
Funny how that happens.
And Kane on being kicked out of the game. You talk about abuse of official. How about abuse of a player? It's an absolute joke.
Oh boy.
Nice. Hold on. I'm looking at it right now. Let's see. Jerry F saying, please don't put on the shirt. I won't be able to unsee that. No, I get you. I get you, bro. M Hackle. Oh, wait a minute. M Hackle. I think I know who that is. Let me see. Christine sold. Christine, I get what you're saying, but I'm looking at the PayPal account right now, and no, not I'm not seeing a purchase yet. Don't cash the check you can afford, AJ. I'm not sure what that means. Okay, anyway, hold on. Go ahead. Talk amongst yourselves for a hot second.
You keep looking for their orders. Laurel said she already ordered two. One can count as Christine purchase for this, if maybe.
Laurel? Your shirts shipped out Friday. If you didn't get them yesterday, you'll have them tomorrow.
Overall, Landy, before we get into the Victoria's Secret portion of the program,
absolutely.
Oh God, help us all. Special teams. If I'm not mistaken, and AJ, tell me I'm wrong here. I think we've only scored like
you're wrong.
I didn't even fucking say it. Shut up. Two power play goals in the preseason. I mean,
you're wrong.
Yeah, I mean, starting out that Steve Spot run power play with a bang there, right?
Well, what I'm leading to this is Steve Spot, a great photographer for a picture of myself and Evander Kane, along with Amanda the other night at the Giants game. But two goals on the power play is not going to reassure those issues either way. So
I mean they had some good movement tonight, so it's not like it looks horrible. It's not like they're static or anything. But to me,
one power play
the interchange.
Just telling you, I am two sails away from putting this on, ladies. I will put it on.
Just speaking about the power play, I feel like the interchange between Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns is still a work in progress, and they've still been trying to shoehorn that together for the better part of, you know, a year. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if the power play still starts off with a hiccup. You know, I think right now.
Oh, shit.
What?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. So we have an order from Christine.
Okay.
We are halfway there, people.
Uh-oh.
We're halfway there. Hold on. I'm going to print this out right now. Christine has ordered... Oh, she has ordered one of the cool-ass Teal Town USA shirts. So I am literally printing out that order right now. And Christine, want you to know that's going to be shipping out tomorrow. Hope you enjoy that. However... This is a twofer, people. Christine had to buy a shirt, and Big Mouth, what, Danielle? Was that what it was?
Oh,
it was Danielle,
don't call
Danielle
her a
Martinez.
Mouth.
No, because that's what he said. He said, AJ, model the low cut shirt for my wife so she can see. Danielle Martinez, I don't see your name in PayPal right now. I don't see your name buying a shirt. When I do, I'm going to be throwing on this BEA beautiful women's cut shirt just for you and your wife, my friend.
Landy, let's get the gift maker ready and for us
I'm
to get
saying.
Out of the picture quickly.
Danielle Martinez, come on.
Or Daniel.
I'm ready to push the girls up.
Oh, dear God.
There are literally other people in the chat saying, dude, let's go. Hold on. Wait a minute. So anyone can order another one, not just Daniel. Oh, really? Laurel, did you not get your two shirts that you ordered? Because they went out Friday. So if you didn't get them on Saturday, then you're going to have them tomorrow. I'm just saying. Do not enable AJ's fantasies, people. JTJT82. Do it, man. I am only going to do it if Daniel Martinez throws down an order.
Oh, man.
I am here. I'm just trying to move product, people. We got to sell a few more shirts to try to break even on this, okay? Help a brother out.
Oh, my God.
Help a brother out, people. It's what we're here for.
Oh, man.
You don't get this on any other podcast, people, is what I'm saying.
Thank God.
And it does have staying power because we still have 55 people watching this crazy show. So
this is what I'm saying. This is how hungry for hockey. This is how hungry for hockey people are.
Thomas Smitter, so I want to see if hockey. AJ's
okay. Wait a minute. Hold on. I may have been wrong. Hold on. I may have been wrong. I see another order here. Wait a minute. I don't know who this person is. Someone from Luck. Dude, Erik?
What?
Erik?
Yes.
Which
Erik
are
you talking
in here now? Erik, do you
which
how close are you Landy, how close are you to La Mesa?
I am like in La Mesa. That's where I'm from.
Really?
That's where I'm.
Do you have any family that may be watching right now?
There might be one particular.
Could you tell me what the first letter of that person's name might be?
E.
shit. Yeah, because we have an order from a P. Landy.
That's mom.
Hey, oh, that's fantastic. All but right, you know what? Mom. Not part of the agreement. Still need an order from
all right, Mama Martinez. Landy.
Still need an order from Daniel Martinez. I'm still looking. I'm still looking here. Hold on. I got it. You know what, though? I feel bad because we might get be my sold rent out pay. On a couple things
already. Wait. We do have a comment from Daniel Martinez. LOL, let me get my rent paid, but I may get evicted because it is worth it. Hashtag homeless, hashtag worth it. All right, Daniel.
Oh, crap. Oh, shit. Hold on. We just... Eric, can you tell me how many syllables are in your current girlfriend's last name?
Mine or
syllables. Yes.
One. Yours.
Okay, not the same. We have a different one. All right. So, uh-oh. Wait a minute. Oh shit. Okay. No. And the reason why I say that is because I see we've just sold out of a size.
Oh, really?
Yep. We just sold out of a size. Oh, that's so disappointing. We ordered incorrectly. So Amanda B, if you're watching right now, I don't know if we're going to be able to fulfill your order because I think we just sold out of that size. Oh, that's so disappointing. Oh, it pisses me off. We miscalculated, but we will have some back for you. And we totally appreciate your order.
We'll totally get it to you ASAP for sure. For sure.
Yeah, but okay, so wait a minute. So getting back to the Christine thing. So Christine, I may just have to put on this shirt, and when I send it to you as part of your order, I'll just like put it as like a selfie, like one of the little 8x10 photos, and just include it as part of your order because Daniel Martinez did not pay for the right to see this. Nor did anybody else.
Oh, great. And just be aware that there might be a few chest hairs in that shirt.
You're one to talk, my friend. You're one to talk. Mr. Chango, I guess a lot of people want to see AJ's girls. That's what I'm saying. Gotta put up the girls, baby. Put up the girls.
All right, let's end this train wreck.
Oh,
right?
Shit. Yeah, no, hockey trick nailing it. Yeah, we're not being able to fulfill orders because we miscalculated the inventory and mismanaged everything because, you know, fanatics.
I'm not gonna lie. I kind of warned him on the. Oh wow! It comes with AJ sweat for an extra 20.
No, I was laughing my ass off. It's not. He's not wrong.
Oh goodness! Damn. All right. With that, let's get out of here. In case you missed anything, or you want to watch this again, and hopefully Daniel Martinez pulls out the order at the last second, you can check us out on Teal 10 USA.
No. I want that to be the sounder for tonight. Hopefully, Daniel Martinez pulls out.
I knew you.
That's what I want to be the sounder tonight. Daniel Martinez, I don't know your relationship status. I don't know your love life. But let's just hear it for Eric Kurz saying, I hope you pull out. Anyway.
I said pull.
Wins the chat.
That's going to matter.
We do. We're going to be updating the website tonight because obviously there's a size or two that we've sold out. And thank you very much. We've sold out from a size or two, but this is this shirt. We got to give it up to our friends at Custom Ink. They nailed the color of teal.
Yeah.
They nailed the perfect color of teal for this. We're not going with any type of what's that color? Pastel. Yeah. Like we're not going Easter for pastel colors.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of this Easter egg BS. No, we got the actual true deep colored teal. This will match perfectly with your jersey. They look fantastic. They're quality. And that was my whole thing is I did not, you know how much, no, I'm not like, shut the fuck up for a second. I'm not trying to be a dick.
No.
I'm trying to be cool about this is that, look, there are some people that will try to, that do podcasts and do shit like this. They will sell an inferior product just to get it out there, just to get their name out there. And it's like worse than Fanatics. And you know how I feel about Fanatics. This shirt, Gildan, this is actually quality. We wouldn't do this if that was my whole thing. We're not going to do this unless it's a quality product, something that I would want myself, that I would wear. The girls' shirts, this, which once Daniel Martinez makes an order, you will see me in.
It's Daniel. Daniel.
Daniel. I'm sorry, Daniel. I know a lot of girls named Daniel. Sorry.
I'm glad his comment kind of skirted through. But anyhow, Eric, finish this.
This made by Anvil. So we're working with quality, like, shirt manufacturers. We're not working, you know, with, you know, 47 or anybody else that Fanatics works with. So we're trying to, appearing. I will be on next week's QVC. Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
But I'm not trying to be a dick about this. It's just that, look, we appreciate it so much that you guys would actually spend the time to take your money and buy a shirt and wear something that promotes our show. We love that. We can't thank you enough for doing that. But I want to tell you, we're not going to sell you a piece of shit shirt. Like, we wanted to make sure that we were going, if we were going to sell anything, it was going to be quality. It wasn't going to be like Fanatics where you wash it once and all of a sudden the logo starts flaking off.
My All-Star shirt. Yeah. No, and also the
guy,
other part.
Guy. I still feel so bad for your All-Star shirt, man.
Right. The other thing too is we want to get the teal right. We know teal is a special color, and you know, all, especially now that it's teal together. Thanks, Sharks, for taking that idea from me. But
let me ask this too: is shirts are $25. If you want it autographed by Hockey Jerk,
oh boy,
$20.
Oh. Damn.
Oh my goodness.
Damn.
If you want autographed by me, Jerk, and both of the Erics, $5. We only will give you $5 to wear it.
That's limited edition.
Mr. Chancho, yes, it does come with the free coaster with your purchase.
Would you like to see that? Let me get one.
While he gets it, in case you missed anything and you want to watch this again, check us out at teal10usa.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it, you love it. Appreciate you guys immensely. Hockey Tricks saying 20,000. Landy, your final thoughts? It's good to chat with you again, my friend. I know you had a nice European trip. Your final thoughts and where the people can find you?
Yeah, final thoughts is let's get this show on the road, boys. It's been feels like it's been a long summer.
Oh yeah, okay, Mr. Spent All Summer in Europe. Go ahead, tell us about how long summer was.
So anyhow, if you want to find me or any of my commentary, you can use my first name, that's Eric with a K, and last name Landy, and find me on all the social media garbages.
All right, and Mr. Strong, as you finish taking that gulp, your final thoughts and where the people can find you.
Okay, so you order a shirt and you can ask anybody who has all your shirt, or anybody who's watching right now that ordered a shirt prior to last Friday. All of the orders went out on Friday, and each one of you got one of these cool beer coasters or drink coasters, whatever you want to call it, but one of these cool drink coasters, the Teal Town USA with this cool logo and everything. Come on. Listen to that. That's quality right there. But, yes, you all got one of those. But going forward, everybody got something cool, but there's going to be a couple orders. We're going to throw in something kind of different, kind of cool, kind of extras. You might get a bobblehead. You might get a drink coaster. You might get a hat. You know what you might get? If you, in the comments section, when you order your shirt, if you just put San Francisco Giants, you might get one of these. I got some extras of these, people. I'll put it in. Same size. Sharks logo, but with the San Francisco Giants logo on the back, but San Francisco Giants promotional shirt from a year ago this last week. So, again, we're trying to do fun stuff for you. And, again, we're not here to rip you off. We want to give you quality, so we're going to give you a good shirt. But we might also throw in something kind of extra, something fun. Just saying. I'm AJ_Strong on the Twitter, on the Instagram. And we got a couple new things for you. Brand new show from Kevin Lacey, In the Reef, that debuted this week. Go check that out. Did a Shark season preview. with the one and only Brody Brazil. That came out this week as well. Go check him out on the YouTube.
Absolutely. And I think we're planning something on Tuesday, AJ.
Only because of Josh. Yeah. Only because of, I believe it was Nedich, Chester Chivo.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think a few of us might be getting together Tuesday evening. And I don't know that anybody's going to watch this unless they're like, you know, jotting down notes to make who to make fun of in April. But we're going to be putting together our picks for how the Pacific Division will shake out in, you know, 7-8 months from now. And I don't know that Chris is going to be singing 22 again, but just saying there might be a bet may be involved.
All just right. Me. That sounds good. I just
and,
hope Jason Palmer will get signed somewhere.
God, I hope not. and you can look forward to a week from now or so, the season premiere of a brand absolutely new Pucknologist.
That'll be a fun one to look forward to. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at PuckGuy14, also on the Instagram. We appreciate the support immensely to all 1,670 subscribers. The 45 people still hoping that AJ puts that shirt on.
It's only Daniel. Months. It's only so, Daniel. And to Laurel, she asked, did I get two? Yes. Two shirts were shipped to you, babe. Oh, yep. But you did only get one coaster. But we can remedy that.
Very quickly. So.
Oh, Hockey Jerk quizzically asking, new Pucknologist? I didn't say that you were involved.
Oh, anyway,
no,
snap.
I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I also didn't say Rocket was involved, so it's all right.
Oh, snap.
I'm kidding. Wow. God, everybody lighten up.
Wow. California Cruising saying, I ordered a shirt. Does that count? No, that doesn't count.
Well, you know what? I have to look and see what size it was because, like I said, and I hate to do this. Oh, dear Lord. Three more orders just came in. I'm going to be so upset because I guarantee you I'm going to have to, like, refund at least one of these because we're just out of stock. Yep. There's one. There's another one.
So the women's shirts are going.
No, that order, this order I can fill. Hold on. Yeah. So we got four orders in, like, the last tits. Unfortunately, I'm only able to fulfill one of them.
We will figure out a way to remedy that in the meantime.
Yes.
But until then, we thank you for watching. Keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real.